God, that is what who God is. God is love. God's a giver. God's concerned about every single person on this earth. God cares about them. And then the next the scripture we looked at in the last couple of weeks is very simply, we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then secondly, we are to love our neighbors ourselves. How in the world does the world know that we're Christians if we love our neighbors ourselves? That's how the world knows. That's how we project Jesus Christ on this earth, is by loving others in the name of Jesus. And so what God wanted, when Jesus went back up, he said, okay, now I want you to love the world just like I have. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to go to the cross. We have our crosses, but that doesn't mean we're going to go to the cross. But it does mean we're going to show the love of the cross to this world. And you want to know why this world's such a mess? Well, it's not God. A man has messed it up. Satan's messed up this world. But God has put us in. We're on assignment in this world to love people. That's why we're here. And we, of course, love them in the name of Jesus. We introduce them to Christ at every opportunity we have. And we talked about also there's a couple of different kinds of love. One of them is agape love. And that's the kind of love God has. And agape love is not an emotional love. It is a love where you make a choice and you choose to love somebody. It really doesn't have a lot to do with feelings, although feelings can be a part of it. But the fact is, you make a choice to love somebody. And many times, that person may not be lovable. But you make a choice to do that. That's what God did to us. He chose to love us knowing everything we were ever going to do. Everything we were going to think, everything we were going to say, everything we were going to do. He chose to love us. Does that mean he condones sin? No. He has put the law of sin into motion on this earth, and the wages of sin is death. Sin always brings destruction of some kind in somebody's life, but that's not God's doing. That is the law of this universe. And so, God's part of it is to love us. Our part of it is to love him back and love other people. That the Christian life is not really complicated. The thing that complicates the Bible is religion, because religion is the very simple fact. You really, in religion, you don't have to love anybody. All you have to do is the works of God, supposedly, and you're going to be okay. Well, that's not why we're here at all. We're to do the works of God, but we are to love people like Jesus did. Sacrificially, by choice, we love people even when they're not lovable. Now, the thing about agape love is God's kind of love, it never changes. It won't change in eternity. So you don't have to worry about leaving this earth, waking up in heaven, so to speak, and the rules have changed. They're not going to change. They're going to be the same from Genesis to Revelation on into eternity. God will always be love. He'll never be anything but love. He can't be anything but love because he is love. His love will never change. It's established in the eternal Word of God that he is love. Now, the only time you ever have problems in families, and the only time you ever have problems in anything, really is when you're not loving somebody. If you really get down to it, that's the whole issue. It's, well, all of a sudden we're not loving somebody, and we get into all kinds of messes and wonder why. Well, I can tell you why. We're not showing the love of God in the family situation. And we'll get into some more about that a little bit later. But there's not more of love at one time and less of love at another. God's love is always consistent entirely. And it was in the beginning and it will be in the end. So the whole thing is love. Now, you may experience more of God's love. His love never changes, but you might experience more of it as you're obedient to the Lord. Now, that's the key, I think. is being obedient to the Lord. If we are doing what He wants us to do on this earth, if we're being obedient to Him, we're going to experience more of God's love. It's just that simple. They always make a joke about Baptist churches down south. They always say, there's a Baptist church on every corner, and the reason there is that one family got mad at another family, and one family left and went out starting another church. So ended up a church on the other corner. You could probably count how many church fights there's been by counting how many Baptist churches there is in a town. Now, I'm not necessarily, it might be some other church besides Baptist. I mean, I'm just using that as an example. But the issue is, very simply, somewhere love broke down in that situation. And it ends up there, all of them are miserable, and it's not a good situation. So basically, if we have to learn anything in life, the very first thing we ought to learn is the love of God. That'll be number one priority. And of course, the love of God takes away all the selfishness out of us, because then we'll realize the whole world doesn't revolve around us. I don't know how many of you thought it did, but it doesn't. I just thought I'd tell you that, just in case you didn't know that. The world doesn't revolve around you and I. The world revolves around Christ and His love. And so that's the whole issue. And another way you get in trouble is thinking the whole thing's for you and everything revolves around you, so you get your way in every situation. I got news. God doesn't spoil people. He really doesn't. And the way He doesn't is because if you have the love of God, then you have to share yourself to other people. You have to adjust to some other things maybe that you're not overjoyed about. You have to do some things that maybe you don't want to do. You have to sacrifice your time and your money and other things sometimes in ways that you'll want to if you're loving somebody in a godly way. And that's the way it is. Thank you. And I'm falling apart here. Okay. My wife's not up here. She holds me together, and that's what the problem is. She's sitting way back there. Okay. So, the very nature of God is love. Let's look in the Bible. And 1 John chapter 4 and verse 11. 1 John, not John. 1 John. Towards the end of the Bible. And incidentally, the book of 1 John is about God's love. So if you want to know about God's love, read 1 John. That's another one, good one to read out loud, incidentally, if you're doing that, and I hope you are. All right, 1 John 4 and verse 8. Now, this whole section right in here certainly is about the love of God, as you'll see. All right, well, let's go start in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, I'm not sure that's saying if you don't love, you're lost, but I think it's saying you're certainly not going to experience a Christian life if you don't understand God's love. And I think that's what that's saying. And once again, it says right there, God is love. Verse 9, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation or a sacrifice, is what that means. A blood sacrifice for us. He sent His Son to do that. Now, if emotionally, if God thought about that matter, I think He would have had second thoughts about sending His Son to do what He did, because that was the almost, I would say, the worst ever in the history of the universe of pain, of hurt, of sin, and all of that Jesus Christ went through on the cross. That was the worst ever in the history of the world. So, The more you use the love of God, the more it's going to grow in you. It's going to rise up in you, and so forth. Now, I want to go ahead and read here, because anytime you start getting self-centered and selfish, I'd read this section right here, and I'd read it out loud. Look in verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. Now, by this we know that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He's given us of His Holy Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We're in 1 John 4:14 now, going for 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. That's pretty clear. Now, this whole thing is about love. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, you need to put about 10 stars by that verse right there. That's what we're supposed to be. That's how we're supposed to live. Let me say this again. Because as He is, Jesus Christ, at the right hand of the Father, so are we in this world. So are we in this world. Now, what's that mean? The love of Christ is to flow through us to this world, just like it did through Jesus Christ to this world. So as He is love, we are to be in this world. Now, this may be very difficult for you at the beginning. It may be totally different than the way you've lived before. But, you know, I think it'd be a good idea sometime during this service to say to God, as you are, I want to be in this world. As you are, I want to be in this world. Lord, I want to be your love in this world. That is my life's ambition, my life career. That is my life purpose, to be God's love in this world. That is the ultimate, maybe we could say sacrifice, but it's the ultimate desire of God for you. That's God's desire for you. If you want to know what His desire is, it is that you would be God's love on this planet called Earth. That's God's desire for us. Now, verse 18 of 1 John 4. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has punishment. He that fear is not made perfect in love. So if you're in great fear in your life, there's somewhere you've missed the love situation in your life. You've missed the love of God, because perfect love casts out fear. Now, I'm not talking about if you're walking down the road and you see a rattlesnake, automatically you get fear because you want to get away from that danger. I'm not talking about that kind of fear. I'm talking about fear about life, fear about getting up in the morning, fear about going to bed at night. I'm talking about that kind of thing. If you're living with that kind of fear, somewhere you've missed the love of God. Okay? Now, verse 19 of John 4, we love Him because He first loved us. Now, you cannot love without God. You cannot love in the godly way without God. It's impossible. You can't do it. You have to get the love from God. It has to come from Him. We love Him because He first loved us. God's love is what brought you to Jesus Christ. You could not have come to Christ without God's love. The cross of Calvary was God's love. The burial, the resurrection of Jesus was God's love. You cannot experience God without experiencing His love. And you say, well, nobody's ever loved me. Yes, they have. You're on this planet because God loved you before you were ever born. It's not a matter of have you ever been loved. It's when you've been loved. And it started before you were born. You were in the heart of God before you were born. He loved you. He desired for you to be born on this planet. He desired for you to be filled with the love of God. He desired for you to show that love to other people. Now, that's the way we ought to pray every day. God, let me show your love to somebody today. Let me show your love to somebody today. I guarantee you, you will. If you, it might be over the telephone, it might be in some other way, but you have to be in contact with people to show God's love. It's never God's idea to go in some monastery and become a monk and never touch anybody's life. Are you listening to me? That's not God's plan. This idea, I'm going to retire, I'm going to go out in the middle of Arizona someplace where even the enemy can't get out. I mean, I'm just going to be self-sufficient out there in the middle of nowhere. Well, big deal, that's not God's plan. It's not God's plan for you. God's plan for you is to be around people so that you can touch them with the love of God. And you have to make an effort to do this. It's easy to stay home. It's easy to go, not go anywhere and that kind of thing. I understand that. You're not going to show God's love sitting all day watching television. I'm sorry. That's just not going to show the love of God. So you have to do whatever God will bring you around people that you can love if you allow him to do so. Let's go on. John 4:20. If a man says, now look at this. If a man, and it also means a woman, get this in your heart. If a man says, I love God and hates his brother. Now the brother can be your neighbors, it can be your actual brother, it can be somebody in your family, it might be people in general. It says here, if a man says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God who's not seen? And it goes on. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. In other words, you can't claim you love God if you don't love the people around you. Now, I don't mean you have to stay in abusive situation. I'm not talking about that. But we're to love people and forgive them regardless of what they do. But that doesn't mean you have to live in abuse. That doesn't mean you have to live in a dangerous situation necessarily, or any of that kind of thing. But the issue is we are to love and forgive people if we say we love God. That is extremely important. There is nothing more important than that in this life. This commandment we have from him, that he who loves God will love his brother also. And our brother is every human being on this earth. Now that doesn't mean that if somebody murders somebody, they shouldn't go to jail. That doesn't mean. That is protection of society. That's a whole different thing. But we should love that person enough to pray for them, particularly pray they get saved, and that kind of thing. That doesn't mean that you have to spend a great amount of time with somebody. What it does mean, you are to love them regardless and forgive them. Because I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a great shock when you get to heaven if you don't get this love thing right on this earth. And I can tell somebody's thinking, man, this is impossible. This just can't be done. I agree with you. In man, it's impossible. With God, it's possible. Do I hear an amen? Amen. All right. This is the issue, folks. This is the whole thing. The whole Bible is a book of love. And God doesn't do half the things on this earth that people give him credit for. I'm talking about bad things. That stuff comes from the devil, most of it. He is the author of darkness. He's the author of sin. He's the author of everything that is in total contrast to God, because God is love. The Bible says everything good on this earth came from the God of love. Now you have to get that in your head. Everything good on this earth came from the God of love. Everything good did not originate from man. It originated from God. And on the contrary, everything bad comes from the enemy. In fact, I think it'd be a good idea, you know, to do this again. We did it the other day. But I think we need to, when it comes out of your mouth, then it's active. Just thinking something does not activate anything. It is when you say it out of your mouth. So I think it's a good idea, occasionally, and it's a good idea for this church to make some statements concerning God and some statements concerning the enemy. Because when you do this, it'll free you up to love God, and it will keep the things of the enemy away from you. So let's do this now. Repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I receive today everything of the love of God and the good things that He has for me through Jesus Christ and His blood on Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. I refuse and denounce every work of the devil and his curses, including family curses, and every door I ever opened to him. So I renounce his works, all of his works in my life and this church, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, you just proclaim something out of your mouth that is going to bring freedom into your life. Because we said, God, we want everything of you, and we refuse anything of the work of darkness in our life. We can do that because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need to renounce those things. It was an interesting thing. I was listening to our radio station this morning, and they were talking about that movie, The Exorcist. I don't know if anybody here saw it. I didn't see the thing. But this was about a demon-possessed girl who, I understand, really lost the battle. But anyway, you know how she got started in that stuff? You know how that girl became demon-possessed? Satan can't do anything he wants to anybody. He just can't come into somebody's life indiscriminately and take over their life. You have to open a door. It's just like you have to open a door to Christ through the cross of Calvary. You can open the door to Satan into your life. She did it by messing around with a Ouija board. That's a true story, incidentally, that movie. That was a case history of something that happened to a girl. She became demon-possessed, and the way she did it was playing with one of those Ouija board games that everybody just messes around with for fun. I'm telling you this, you can't mess around with the stuff of darkness for fun, because it'll open the door in your life, and you'll become one of the most unloving people and self-centered people in the history of the world. Yeah, anybody can happen to anybody. Yes.
Both my sisters got involved
with
Ouija boards.
Yes.
Both of them got demon possessed.
Yes. Both of them got freed. Mm-hmm. One of them turned to God. The other one went back. The one that went back is now in a mental hospital, and she's locked up behind doors.
What
I'm teaching you is life. What I'm teaching you is truth. It's simple. It is the truth of God, And I couldn't be more important. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell you the truth. Because some people say, did I come to church to hear about this? Well, I hope so. Because we're going to teach what this book says as long as we have breath to preach it. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, let's move on here. So, the Bible says that God is love. That's His nature. That's His life. That's His purpose. That is His destiny. That is everything about God. He is love. Now, the more often you're going to use God's love, the more it's going to develop in your life. You have to practice this, loving people, just like you do anything else. And pretty soon it'll be a habit, and pretty soon you'll be doing it all the time. Is it possible to love people without God? Yes, but only with this emotional type of love. You can't love people in a godly way unless you have God Himself. Now, so this is going to move the love of God out of our spirit into our soul, and we're going to begin to touch the world. We're here to touch the world. One thing I want to do sometime this year is to get in some advanced training on how to touch the world for Christ, how to touch, make a difference in people's life. That's what we're here for. We have no other purpose. It's not just to keep this little thing to ourselves. We want to let God out of this box and touch this world for Jesus Christ, particularly this area. Now, here's an interesting thing. Love does its greatest work when it's given towards somebody who can give you nothing in return. It's easy to love somebody that's going to love you back. I don't know, one of the most interesting things I ever saw was this lady. How many ever heard of Helen Keller? I don't know, there's a movie about her life. It's an old movie. But if you ever saw the lady that loved her, and in spite of this, Helen Keller would hit her and abuse her, and she was trying to teach Helen Keller how to talk and how to act and how to do all the things that we take for granted. And this lady was abused up one side and down the other, but she never gave up. She loved Helen Keller to become the person that she became, as you well know, and made a great influence on the world. But the greatest love, and it's God's love, He gives us His love when we're enemies of His, according to the Word of God. He gave His love when we didn't care one thing about Him. When we were living life like He never existed. When we never spoke the things of God. In fact, probably the opposite. God loved us when we weren't lovable, or we would not be Christians today. If God said, I'm only going to love people who love me back, there wouldn't be one person saved on this planet. Are you listening to me? That's the way God's love's different from our natural love, because His love never expects anything in return. Jesus Christ died on the cross for millions of people that curse His name every single day. Jesus died on the cross for millions of people who not only don't show His love, they are strapping bombs around themselves and blowing up people in a crowd. Jesus died on the cross for them. Never receiving anything in return. Fact, there are going to be more people that are not going to return God's love than are, according to the Scriptures. We ought to be shouting hallelujah and thank you, Jesus. You put your love in us and we can return it to you because of the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. We ought to be so thankful every day. God, give me somebody to love like you loved me. Are you listening? Give me somebody to love like you loved me. That's the God kind of love. That's the kind of love that will change somebody's life. That's the kind of love that will make a difference, not demanding anything in return. If you demand something in return, it's just a business contract. And it's not the love of God. Oh, if we just learn this in our marriages, if we just learn this in our relationships, if we just learn these things. I'm going to tell you, there's always going to be somebody do something dumb. There's always going to be, we do things dumb. There's always going to be somebody do something to upset you. But that shouldn't change your love for them 1 ounce. Absolutely not. If it can change your love, you don't have the God kind of love. Are you listening to me? We don't love somebody to get something in return. And if you do, you're acting like the world and not God. I mean, the world does that all the time. They major in it. It's getting something. It's getting something. It's always giving to get something. And that sort of thing. Look in Luke 6:32. Luke chapter 6 and verse 32. Luke 6:32. See if you can get it in your Bible faster than they can put it on the screen. We'll have a contest. Luke 6. Okay. Luke. Okay. All right. Luke 6:32. Okay. It says, "For if you love them who love you, what thanks is that? For sinners also love those who love them." See that? There it is right there. "For sinners also love those who love them." Verse 33. "And if you do good to them who do good to you, what thanks have you? For sinners also even do the same." And verse 34. "If you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thanks have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the sons of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." Do you see that? That's amazing. Let's read 35 again. "But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the sons of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." And you wonder, somebody's always saying, why didn't God just wipe them out? Why didn't God just nuke Iran and get rid of the whole place? I mean, let's get serious, you know what I mean? Why doesn't God do that? Because they're blowing up his kids and all this kind of thing. And I don't want to get into all that. But the issue is, God is kind to those that are not kind to him. God is loving to those that are not loving to him. And we are to be the same way. That doesn't mean we aren't to protect ourselves as a nation or as individuals. But it means that we are to not be unkind to those that just because they don't like us or don't agree with us on whatever issue it is. And if you want to get an issue, talk about politics or religion. And you'll find somebody that doesn't agree with you real quick. But we are to love them anyway. We're to be kind to them anyway. You can get into this thing, the big division between Democrats and Republicans. You know, if you carried that to the extreme, you'd absolutely destroy this nation. Are you listening to me? They don't have to agree with you. You can love them anyway. And that's what we are to do. Now, lastly today, God's love never fails. There's a lot of things in this life are going to fail. God's love is never going to fail. Look in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. Now, I'm just teaching you what the Bible says is all I'm doing. So, we need to look at this. God's love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. Now, this says, love never fails. Your Bible may say charity, but it's love. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know now really in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And so on. But what it says is, you might have all the gifts of God, but if you don't have love, you don't have anything. You can preach the word of God, but if you don't have love, you don't have anything. Is really what it says. You can bless somebody in the name of God, but if you don't have love, you don't have anything. That's what the Bible says. If it isn't done in love, it's not going to count for eternity. If it's not done in love, it's not going to count for eternity. If it is done in love, it will count for eternity. Because God's love, He never fails. Now, our circumstances might change. Our lifestyle might change. A lot of things might change. But God's love is never going to change. We might get older, but God's love is not going to change. You might get a few aches and pains, but God's love is not going to change. Never change a few, yeah. Betty said a few? Come on. But anyway, God's love never changes. And it doesn't, regardless, it'll never change. He'll never change His mind, and so forth. Now, somebody is always asking me, do you believe in eternal security? Now, that's good for an argument. You know what I say to that? I don't even answer the question. I'm going to tell you what I do believe in. All right, now listen to me. Here's what I believe in. Everlasting life. Nobody ever argues about everlasting life. I ought to have had enough sense a long time ago never to argue about eternal security. What I believe in is everlasting life. It says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have
everlasting life.
There it is. If God said it, I believe it. Okay? Like my 95-year-old uncle says, I don't argue, I just discuss. Okay. Now. Okay. It's not going to fail. Let's look at one more scripture here. Galatians 5:14. Galatians 5:14. And if we can just get this, we'll get the Christian life down pretty good. Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Repeat that after me. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's what the Word of God says right there. The law is fulfilled. All the Old Testament's fulfilled. All the New Testament's fulfilled. It's to love your neighbor as yourself. That fulfills it all. If you love others with God's love. And I'll tell you who's going to bless you for it. Not man, but God. You'll get a blessing from God. You never give things of God without getting a return from Him. You might not get it from the person. In fact, they might curse you. You might not get it from whoever you're trying to help. They may not appreciate it at all. But I'm going to tell you, you'll get the blessing from God. You'll get that to your account in heaven. You will get filled up with the things of the Lord. Now, Matthew 25 and verse 40. Matthew 25 and verse 40. Now, the context of this happens to be Israel, but we're going to use this. Matthew 25, 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. And what that says is, if you love somebody with God's love and His name, you have done it unto God. You say, we're always saying, how can I bless somebody today? You might say, how can I bless God today? By loving somebody in Jesus' name. That's how you do it. You say, I've never received love from anybody in this life. Well, if you're a Christian, you have the love of God. You can give His love. Maybe you didn't get love from anybody else like you thought you ought to have. But the issue is, you got a lot more from God than you ever deserved. And so have I. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Repeat after me. God is love. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. We will be blessed by God. There it is. Let's stand before the Lord. Have the elders come. And let's